Okay, I think everyone is here, so we will call the meeting to order. With the minutes, I would like to add Zane to the top as a guest from Crago Law Office. And then besides that, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Oh, yep.
Could we add, I just have a discussion for the new ambulance that we've ordered, just kind of an update.
Let's put that under old business, since that's kind of...
Okay.
So we'll do number three, new ambulance update. Any other additions or corrections? Okay.
I move that the revised agenda be approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the agenda, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. All right. Zane. This is Zane Hengel. He is with Crago Law Offices, and he was a ginormous help to us with some things that we've had questions on. And so he, we talked about before having a sort of a contract with Crago Law Offices. One of the great things, too, is that he sort of has Barry, who knows special districts inside and out. So we have that working relationship with all of them. And so he presented a...
Engagement
letter for us, which I am going to have him email it to me, and I will email it to everyone, because I think before we sign it, everyone, I just want everyone to review it. However, I think it would be good that if this way we can get it signed and approved prior to the next meeting in case we were to need anything. So I do think that it's important that we vote, if we all agree on it, to sign it once everyone reviews it. Do you have anything to go over with it, or?
No, I don't know how much you guys have done as far as reaching out to attorneys before, but generally the engagement letters are pretty standard. They basically just fit within the Wyoming Rules of Professional Responsibility as far as billing goes, confidential information, things like that. And it just kind of lays out a standard of conduct between me and yourself as a board, or more specifically a special district. And so, you know, we have it set up right now. It's just an hourly. I know in the past it's been different as far as each special district, whether they prefer flat rates, hourlies. I think there's a little ability to be... you can change a little bit as long as it's hourly, and I think it remains a little more flexible than a flat rate for you guys, especially with just, I know what a good job you guys do with being conscientious about taxpayer dollars, so I think having the flexibility of a hourly pay would probably be better for you, but that's obviously up to you guys as a board, and we can amend and change that at any time you guys see fit. So.
And the hourly rate that they have is $175 per hour, so that's more than reasonable. For us,
that right, turn that machine on right there. That's my heart, right?
I think what we can do is just go through this, and then I can sign, and give it to you. Is there questions about this, or? Any questions for Zane from anyone?
So you're going to email that to all of us so that at the next meeting we can...
Yeah, or we can wait till the next meeting, or we can vote to say, hey, if we all approve, pending us all reviewing it, we vote for me to sign it. I don't foresee us needing Zane before the next meeting. So I think it would be good if we took the time to review it. And then if, for some reason, if we did need him, we can always, you know, get it signed. And
I like the idea of having somebody right here in town to represent us. Mm-hmm. They're only a phone call away, and it's
Yeah.
Pretty handy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with that. I mean, I'd be fine to make a motion to allow you to sign that if we don't see any changes after you email it.
Okay.
If you guys want that.
Yeah, I'd second that motion.
Okay, all in favor of signing the Craigo Law Offices pending no changes or questions, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thanks, Zane.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
you.
You
are free to go if you would like.
I'll stick around for a little bit.
Okay.
You won't look quite so green.
I don't know if I'll make it through the whole thing. I'll be here for a little bit.
Okay. Teresa sent us all the general meeting minutes. I did not see anything that needed to be changed when I went through it, but.
So we had the budget hearing minutes and then the general attached, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So you want to approve those
well,
together?
Let's approve the, if we, are there any additions or corrections to the budget hearing minutes?
I move that they be approved as presented.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the presented budget hearing minutes, signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Minutes, motion passes. And then are there any additions or corrections to our general meeting minutes?
Make a motion to approve the general meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the general meeting minutes, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay, treasurer's report. Pardon me, but I'm going to read from this. So for July, our ambulance revenue was at $47,254. And that number is about $7,400 over what we have budgeted for ambulance revenue. Interest came in at $2,035. Taxes were $15,124 under budget at $53,209. Motor vehicle fees came in at $7,624. And then out of county transfers were $28,461. So for July, our total revenue was $138,583. When we take 30% of the $28,000 thousand out of the out of county transfer, our new adjusted revenue is $130,045, which is about $8,295 over budget. Expenses, we had $107,628 in expenses, which is $14,122 under what we had budgeted. KC expenses were $14,501, and that's about $4,249 under what we had budgeted. Cash on hand is $1,142,436, and then CDs are approximately $1,054,095. So right now we are in a favorable financial position. To balance the budget going forward, it's really going to be dependent on ambulance revenue and out-of-county transfer revenue in hopes to offset that tax revenue, which has historically been approximately 20% below budget. Are there any questions on the treasurer's report?
I move that the treasurer's report be approved as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor of approving the presented treasurer's report, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Carrie, for your director's report.
Buffalo EMS has 76 total calls in July, 21 medical, 5 trauma. We had 21 transfers, 6 of those to Billings, 7 Casper, 2 Sheridan, 4 to Airport, 1 to Sundance, and 1 to Denver. 5 of those were nurse transfers, and we did have one out of county transfer in addition to that 21. 24 of the calls were in town, 52 out of town, 49 were Johnson County residents, 27 non-resident, 4 were canceled, 12 refusals, 2 assisted other agencies, 1 DOA, and 3 trauma team activations. 32 of those calls we billed Medicare, 1 Medicaid, 3 private insurance, 2 VA, and 6 self-pay. So it was a relatively busy month for July. In August, if we're going to talk about Camporee, but it just happened, but we really did not see, there might have been a few calls, not of Camporee visitors, but maybe some Campbell County people that were
trying to get away from the town,
and so, you know, but slight, slight disruption to our normal, and we are going to have an EMT class starting next Monday, a basic class. Anyone is welcome to call the office if they're interested. Michelle, I don't know if you have anyone from KC that's interested, but if you do, have them give us a call. Okay. And then Shane, our maintenance director, has a report on ambulance health.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Houston, we have a problem. The turbo bug from KC has struck in Buffalo. Bad news with options, if that's a thing. So, MS-73, the main transfer ambulance, kept coming with a check engine light. We're in the medical profession, so we got a second opinion. So we had, So we had Torque Diesel and Waring Chevrolet look at it. And what it comes down to is the turbo vanes are starting to stick. Does that mean? Probably need a new turbo. Torque Diesel has a couple of options that we could look at. Waring Chevrolet, if they can work on it, ballparkish, $10,200, if they can work on it. They're not sure they have a lift big enough to handle it. Torque Diesel has a couple of options. One is you can replace all the EGR equipment, go through all the valves, all the diesel, all the, that's the list of stuff that they'd have to replace. That's about $8,764.17. Or we can consider that the ambulance is 9 years old and has 118,000 miles on it. It's probably past its warranty stage at this point. The DEF could be removed. They're hoping that if you do the EGR or remove the DEF, the turbo will clear itself, which is an option. And if you remove the DEF, it's $4,882.50. These are your copies if you'd like to look through them and see what all the codes and everything said. If replacing the EGR system for shy of $9,000 or removing the DEF system altogether doesn't clear it, then it's replaced the turbo. As Michelle can attest, they're not the easiest to find in the world. An aftermarket is about $2,500 to $3,000 for the turbo plus labor. A dealer model is about $4,500 plus labor. Torque Diesel labor would be about $800 to replace it.
The quote for $10,000 was for replacing the turbo that from wearing?
Yes.
If they can.
Work on it.
So, I mean, that would probably be what we're looking at with Torque. I mean, $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Either way, you're looking at about $10,000, $11,000. I guess my recommendation would be remove the DEF at the $4,000 and start small, spend your money locally, boost our local economy and see where it goes from there.
But Torque can do the,
Torque can do
the turbo though too, if we want to do that. Yeah,
they've been wonderful to work with for us, so that'd be my recommendation. There's a laundry list of codes that come up when you run it, but that would be my recommendation. So bad news with options.
I think we should go with the $4,000 DEF option.
Sometimes that works.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, yeah, I guess lean on their expertise. I just, if it's 4,000, then we're replacing the turbo in 2 months.
Yeah, but you're still only still going to be up to 8, because then he said if we put, it was like 4,000 or something with the...
40, if you have to, if you remove the DEF and you still have to replace the turbo, the dealer turbo, which is probably going to be the quickest to get, as Michelle knows.
Sean was able to get the 2 aftermarket ones quicker than he could the dealership ones.
Was he?
Yeah.
And that's 2,500 to 3,000 plus another.
And labor is not going to be $7,000.
No, it's going to be $800.
Yeah.
Labor.
So we're still going to be under, yeah.
Okay.
So, can I ask?
Yes.
So, this ambulance is out of service right now?
No, we can use it.
We can still use it.
We can roll one of the 106 or 93 into transfer. They're not ideal, but they work. 93 is just a gas or diesel guzzling pig. But we still have 2 more units to take transfer.
And so all the ambulances right now are in service.
Yes.
You guys got a pop.
My vote is DEF. The $4,842.
I'd like to try that.
I agree.
Especially as long as we don't have to take it out of service for very long to do that. That'd probably be, what, a day or 2 maybe at the most?
Day or 2 at the most, once they get it in. Like I said, they've been wonderful to work with. They get it. They kind of make the emergency vehicles a priority if they have to work on them. So. Good with that.
Need a motion?
Yeah, let's have a motion for that, please.
I'll make a motion to go with
Torque Diesel.
Torque Diesel. And start with the DEF option for what was it? 4,000.
For estimated $4,800.
$4,882.50.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you. Any more on the Buffalo director's report?
I have a question,
oh, yeah.
Carrie. Okay, I guess you put that under old business, didn't you?
The new ambulance.
The new ambulance. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll wait.
I guess I do have an addition. We've been in contact with FirstNet. It's through AT&T, but it's and it's been around for 7+ years. But they're just increasing in their coverage and their capabilities, and basically it's cell service for first responders. And so first responding, they get priority.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, if Camboree were going to slow down
coverage,
I guess, yeah, I would, for lack of a better word, all FirstNet customers have priority. If there's some kind of an emergency here locally, they can bring in satellites that offer cell coverage that would just be for this network only. And then they're also offering for first responder individual phones, if people want to do that through AT&T. The cost is comparable or a little bit less. They have a little bit of leeway to kind of make it more appealing. And so I think our cell phones, Buffalo EMS pays for those on a monthly basis. We're just going to be on the AT&T FirstNet plan. About a week.
Okay.
I like FirstNet. That's
yeah.
what
Do you
my,
have it on you?
Yeah,
yeah.
I've had it for a few years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So have I, and I've never,
yeah,
had, I've never got
it. I think it's a good idea, and the service is a little, it doesn't cost quite as much. So it does save a little bit.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Casey, director's report.
We had 9 total calls. Three medical, one standby, ended with 4 refusals and 6 patients. 2 of the refusals were out of one of the calls. Just 2 patients. 192 is back up and running. For right now, providing we continue to keep the tire aired up, we're trying to troubleshoot if it has a slow leak or if it's a stem that goes into the dual. I'm not a mechanic, so, but it has the 2 stems that come out into the duals. I don't know if one of those is leaking and what is making it go down, but
so
we're just checking it daily. Every other day I'm having to put air in it, but.
So like, fill it up with air and then go on a drive really fast on a call?
Right now we're just having it be second out.
Okay.
Still.
Okay. You don't need a blowout going
no,
to a call.
No, no. So that's all I have for that.
There's a question.
I was just going to let Michelle know that we ran into that same problem on a couple of hours. And
yeah.
the tube that connects the
yeah,
duals together.
Yep.
We replace those about every year.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. It's just that there's a slow leak in it,
mm-hmm.
that it's not connected, but
especially the wonky metal ones.
Yeah, replace it tomorrow. So we'll see if that's it.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? She had to step out for a minute. Does anybody have any questions for Michelle or Carrie on the director's reports? Okay. Well, I guess we'll wait for her to go into old business on the new building, unless somebody has something to go ahead and share.
I do have
okay.
something I can
okay.
share.
Okay, let's go into old business
so
in the new building.
I sat in on I sent that webinar thing to Brittany, but there was a webinar went last week with the State Land and Investment Board on the update for the rules and everything for the ARPA money, the federal money. And I talked with Jake.
Yeah.
I was a little panicky.
Yeah.
But we have to have our bid documents and contracts signed by October 1st. They have to go to the State Land and Investment Board no later than October 1. And Jake is very aware of that, and it sounds like there's another deadline for October 31st, but I'm not overly concerned about that. Jake assured me that they would be ready to go. They're putting the bid document, getting ready to advertise the bid documents.
I have.
Right away?
Yeah, so.
And they have to be advertised for 3 weeks. And did you talk to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a big. Yeah.
Kind of say.
Yep. So the building will be advertised for bids starting this week. I sent the ad to the bulletin on Friday. It will publish there, along with bid centers in Casper, Billings, and Rapid, and online through Quest, which is how most of the contractors will be notified these days. I was actually hoping to advertise and bid this when construction season was a little slower, since the end of construction deadline for funding is the end of 2026. We had to push bidding up a bit to be able to get the project under contract by October 1st of this year. I was unaware of that deadline until Marilyn let me know last month, so we've had to push the subs pretty hard, but it looks like we'll make all of the federal deadlines. Marilyn and I also reached out to Scott Perringer at Road and Bridge and confirmed that he does have site and building field available at the old Irvine gravel pit. He will have his crews deliver it to the site. It will save quite a bit of time and money since the contractor will only have to place and compact the material rather than buy it and have it trucked to the site. And then he attached the bid advertisement for reference. So We can see the dates if anybody wants to see that. And they will need to get in touch with P&Z and make sure they schedule us for the meeting room on both August 30th and September 5th, both at 2 p.m. for a pre-bid meeting and bid opening.
What days
were
those?
P&Z?
Planning and zoning right here.
Oh.
Well, is that county planning and zoning,
August
or is that city planning and zoning?
And September 5th.
I think it's in the city.
Both at 2 p.m.
Marla, I think you, this is where.
Well, we can do it here because this is where our meeting is. Yeah. Okay.
What days?
I mean, you're welcome to use City Hall.
Yeah, I think
just,
probably
I don't know
here.
What day, August 30th.
Since
or
everybody
September
knows.
5th is.
August 30th?
Or oh, something? Yes. August 30th and September 5th.
September 5th?
Both at 2 p.m.
So let me check with Jim right now and see.
That doesn't say anything for August 30th. Are there any questions on that?
September 5th?
So sealed bids will be received at the Johnson County Planning and Zoning Office until 2 p.m. local time on September 5th. The bids will then be opened and read aloud at the County Planning and Zoning Office.
So Jim said we're clear for August 30th at 2 and September 5th at 2.
Perfect.
And we don't have to have a special meeting in between those dates? At all? We should, that should be considered our special meeting probably, huh?
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Okay.
Contract documents may be obtained on or after August 16th at the Office of Nelson Engineering at the non-refundable cost of $150 per set. I'm not sure what that means. Okay. Non-mandatory pre-bid conference will be held August 30th.
So somebody will have to
no
be here.
Bidder may withdraw its bid after the scheduled time of the bid opening. Bids are to remain open for 60 days after the bid opening. So this will be published, this whole bid will be published August 15th, August 22nd, and August 29th. Any questions?
It's going to be close.
So we will, now that Media 307 and Bulletin, can this be our official letting you know of our special meeting, September 30th?
You mean August 30th?
August 30th and September 5th, both at 2 p.m. here at the Planning and Zoning Office to open bids.
The big thing is that if we don't have these signed contracts to the state by then, they're going to pull that ARPA funding, and then it's going to go into a pot, and then they're going to look at redeploying it, which they'll send it. But it didn't look like ambulance type buildings or hospitals were going to be part of that redeployment money. So, yeah, so we better all just
buckle down.
I just want some clarification. So it will be advertised 3 weeks in the bulletin, but then basically the very next that same week, you're having a special meeting.
That's what it says.
And expecting to have some bids on that day and the 5th.
I don't know if we're going to have, yeah, this doesn't, I'm confused because.
It said sealed bids will be received until 2 p.m. local time on September 5th. So I'm not sure what happens on August 30th.
I think it's just to get the people that want to bid to come into a meeting, and then they
for a pre-bid meeting.
Pre-bid, yeah.
Your engineer will be here, and
he answers questions
that they might have.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like September 5th is the bid opening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. And I offer this poor experience after being through the bid letting for the library. If one of those contractors walks in at 201, do not accept the bid.
Yep.
That is a hard deadline. do not accept it if they arrive physically after that.
You want to be the bearer of bad news?
But Nelson should have those before. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not their,
it's not their first
rodeo
construction project for a governmental entity.
And,
but good note,
They also said on that webinar that they are extremely shorthanded down at the state, the office down there, and there's information coming in and out of there on this federal ARPA money right and left, and they don't know when things, there might be a change made or what, so that they've got two people that are just kind of watching what the federal government's doing with this ARPA funding. So, and that money has to get spent first. Then we have our mineral royalty grant and so on.
Okay.
So it's kind of a
not a lot
fluid
and now all of a
kind
sudden,
of yeah. thing going on.
Okay. All right.
I'll be gone on the 5th.
Okay. Teresa, do you want to discuss audit?
Yes. So we did meet down in KC. There were two new people. It was Kevin and the lady, I can't remember her name offhand. But it was very thorough. We were there from 9 o'clock till about 3 o'clock. They looked at several invoices. They did look at an employee file. And then they went through the deposits, and through the deposits we discovered, or he had already discovered, that there was revenue from the state of Wyoming in March for $10,480. And I had it under ambulance fees, but it actually was grant money. And I looked back and it does correlate to the first two invoices that were sent to Nelson Engineering, so I will make an adjustment to last year's income by that amount and get that out to everybody. And he said he looked that up on Wyoming open website, and I guess anybody can go on there and see where
the money
goes. Go. And so that was good to note, and I told him that I really wasn't looking for grant money yet because we hadn't received any emails stating that they were paying anything, and then it was also into the money market account, not the building account, and so I overlooked that.
So this was one of the first drawdown we did, and one of those comments on that webinar is people were having trouble wondering when they're how they're going to get their drawdown money. They're sending their drawdowns in, but they're not seeing how their money's coming in.
Yeah, and he did say that there is really, they don't correspond back when they send that money. It's up to the entity to
figure it out.
So I'll be aware of that from now on. It does if it's just an ambulance fee. So I'll get that corrected. So that was good to note. And then he also found two deposits in March that were cleared at, through the clearing site and marked paid for patients, but I didn't have them tagged as deposits, so I need to go back and figure out where that money is and if we in fact did receive it. Both of the receipts show that the money went to the Omaha, Nebraska address, and there is one, I'm pretty sure it's in a larger deposit, and I just have to look at the deposit sheet from QuickMed and figure out
where it's at.
What deposits make up that amount, and then I'm in connection with Lori to find out the other one because it's actually one that she billed. And what I think happened there, it was right in the switchover, and so it's a trip that Lori billed, but the money was sent to QuickMed, and so I think it's on her payment sheet, but they actually processed the money.
Okay.
So I just need to double check, but it's good that he made me aware of that.
Yeah. Good that they're so thorough.
Yeah, so that was two big things that came out. And then also we kind of discussed the outstanding checks that are still there from several years back. And it came up in the last audit also, and they said that we need to just reissue those checks to the people that we can be in connection with. And so I didn't prepare that for this meeting, but I will for the next meeting. And then he said if it's to an entity or a person that we don't have a connection with, like someone that is no longer employed, that we actually have to go to the Wyoming unclaimed property and send the money to them, and then they somehow put it out there
for years and years and years.
But he said that's the process, that we really shouldn't have any outstanding checks.
Okay.
And he said there's really very few, considering what he sees with other businesses and entities. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We know going forward how to correct it.
Yes. Perfect.
And so, then he did mention they need a copy of the contract with Buffalo EMS, a signed contract.
Okay.
And so if I can get that from you, and then an up-to-date one from Dr. Goddard for both Buffalo. He said the one I had one for Casey, and he said that would be okay as long as there's no changes.
Okay.
But I didn't have one.
I don't think we redid it when he went
he needs
to
an updated one.
The
I think we did.
Director for Buffalo EMS, did we redo
we did.
The, his
yeah.
agreement?
We do have one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So all in all, I think it went well.
Sounds like it.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys for all of your work on that.
Absolutely.
Michelle, Teresa, that's appreciative.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say it's pretty minor.
Yeah. But it was good that he pointed out the deposit discrepancies, because now I can go back through and try to find those.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
See what's going on with that, and to actually have a way. And I was trying to, I guess, reconcile with the reports that we get from the billing companies, but I hadn't made it all the way through March and through the end of the year. I think I was up to January.
Yeah.
So
perfect. That's good.
I will be in connection with him and
sounds
those
good.
Deposits. So.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. New ambulance updates.
Okay. Well, we've been working with the design team, and Lori Balcher, our representative for the medics ambulance, everything from the exact location of an outlet to cabinet design and doors, and that is going well, and we think we have all the additional, like a blanket warmer cabinet, and we now want, after having the Lucas device just loose and having to strap it in every time, we're organizing to have a cabinet
that
just for
nice.
It, which will be very nice to kind of get it out of the way. So doing some custom designing there. The next step now is we need to decide on the outside decals. What's included is just some basic striping, and we can go with something that we've had, which is basically a stripe down the side. But they're suggesting maybe use a Star of Life. And I didn't know if you wanted to look at some pictures, but it's your ambulance. Do you want it to say Johnson County Ambulance or Johnson County Rural Health Care District on the outside?
Do you pay by the letter? Because if so,
know.
I'd say ambulance.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I think just say Johnson County Ambulance.
That's what
yeah.
all the others
yeah.
say
yeah.
is Johnson County
Ambulance.
Yeah. Okay, and then I'll just leave these, just some samples of Star and Life. There's a Wyoming Star of Life.
I like those.
I'll ask permission from the state of Wyoming to make sure we can, that there's not a copyright on that. But I'll just leave these, and you can look
Great.
Through them and give us some suggestions.
So where are we with when we're going to have this thing?
November.
Oh,
November is the targeted date to be in and being built. And my hope is that we'll get it mid-December.
Yeah, before
Good.
The roads start getting.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, and we just received the new cot that was ordered that would go in that, and then the power load the ambulance company ordered and paid for. So So, you know, things are kind of coming together.
And then did we budget, like, to move radio stuff, the radios into the new ambulance and all that? Or I don't know if we...
It's not added in here.
That's really not what they... That's after
they
get the
ambulance.
But I was thinking, I don't know if we...
What's that usually cost?
Well, I don't know. It won't...
I
bet it won't be under 1,000.
Probably not. I'm hoping.
We maybe can take that out of our radio line, though.
That we're going to be under.
Because I think the radio system itself, where we budgeted that 23, was going to drop down to like 16,000 maybe. So we should be okay there.
That's a good thought.
Yeah.
And then I'm hoping this radio reprogramming will happen maybe all around that same
time.
That would be together.
Nice. Yeah.
Because then they would have radio techs up here in the area.
I guess they're working on the system right now. So,
that's all I have, other than I think we do need to start planning on another. We have two ambulances that we have 106 that has over 200,000 miles, and then 93 that's very aged, with a problem in the that's not fixable for very cheap. We can take it. We just don't want to take 93 on long trips to Denver. We wouldn't normally do that. But a couple options are a van type, which would be less expensive and easier to, a shorter time to order and get here, because you're not waiting on the chassis like you would be the other 350s or 450s. And then this company does remounts. This ambulance, I think, the final bid was about $250,000. A remount, she gave me a quote, and everything is redone, and you have a new chassis truck, but you put your old box on it, but they refurbish it. That's about $180,000. Still very expensive, but that is an option to have one done in about 4 to 6 months.
Well, so the only problem with that is you're out that ambulance.
They give you a loaner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we thought that same thing.
Yeah,
and
so they give it.
That wouldn't be ideal, but they do have loaners for that time. So, and I can get more concrete quotes so that you can make comparisons. But
how much is a van?
I don't know for sure. I'm guessing it's going to be
like half. I think what Crosby told me is they're about like about 180 or something like that.
Can you can put a cot in a van?
Yeah.
Do everything.
Yeah.
They're called Sprinter vans.
And they probably are better on gas mileage.
They're a lot better on gas mileage.
Maybe a little smoother riding for the patient too.
They're just not four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
But that's really the only.
And so you'd use those for transfers, basically, only. Yeah.
If you need a four-wheel drive, we shouldn't be on the road anyway. They need to fly it.
I mean, if you consider, it would be interesting just to compare gas mileage, too, to see how you may end up, you know.
Well, and we won't have this DEF problem that we have.
Yeah.
Every diesel unit. Mm-hmm. If you hold it. Right,
yeah.
Turbos and DEF, and that's just what happens to those diesels.
I think we should look into the van.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay. Yeah, I'd like to suggest to look into the van, and I'd like to also suggest that we seriously get another something ordered and coming, because it just takes so long.
How long is a van?
She didn't give me a time frame on that, but.
If you, for the September meeting, if you could look at the cost of a van and then time frame.
Okay.
Well, then, how long do you think KC's ambulances are going to hold up? You guys are on what, I was trying to see what kind of mileage you guys had.
Their mileage is not bad.
Only 43,000 and 29,000.
Okay. And they're, how old are they?
264 is.
They're getting up there.
12?
I was going to say 10 at least.
12 years old, and 192 I think is 7 or 8.
Okay.
But they're well taken care of.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any more old business? New business, patient balances.
Where do I have that?
Did you want to talk about it? Or?
Can you explain? Or I can explain through the email. Which is kind of confusing. The Italy one, right?
Yeah, so there was a patient that is from it visiting from Italy. I'll just read this. I received a call today from a patient for incident number, and it gives it. She was visiting from Italy and stated that they do not have to pay for their services in Italy. She asked if she could pay this out over a few months. And this is to Lori at the Total Practice Strategies. Lori said that would be fine. Then a friend of hers called that she was visiting and asked for a discount, and he would pay it in full if it were discounted. So they're basically asking for a discount on the service.
The gal from Italy pays it in full just over a few
months. Yeah, over some time. The total would be $1,588 as billed.
I mean, I say she pays it on a billing, however, payment, because...
Yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
If she's willing,
at full.
Yeah, and then okay. Can be up, the months, two to three, however many months that Lori, however she wants to work with her on that.
And the other bill is one that was sent. It's a balance due of $290, and whoever received it wrote a message on it and said that the patient is deceased. And so the family member receiving the bill must not want to pay the $290 balance. So I guess it's in question, do we write that off?
I'm assuming this has happened before.
I don't remember.
Wouldn't they still bill the patient even though they were deceased, probably a Medicare patient, they would still bill the patient's
I'm assuming
their Medicare doesn't just stop as soon as they're...
No, but I'm assuming that insurance is already paid.
Yeah.
This is the balance that the patient owes, and honestly, unless they add a guarantor, I think you write it off because the patient
that's
is deceased. The family members are not responsible for that.
Yeah. So the total...
Those, then they are responsible to pay those bills before they can collect anything out of the trust or selling any of the person's items or anything. Their bills have to be paid first.
So you could submit this bill to the clerk of court as against an estate if there is a said estate. You can't just, and I don't know the patient's name, but if you see in that newspaper.
That's how. So the total charges were $1,024. And so we collected everything but $290. I mean, in this case where the patient is deceased, and if this is what's left over, I say we just,
I'd like to just write it off. Send them a letter and tell them we're going to write it off.
Okay.
That's my
thoughts. Do you need a motion for that?
Probably.
I'll make a motion to that.
I second.
And we can't say the patient's name. So all in favor of this, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And we will be writing off $290.
I'll contact Lori on both.
Okay, thank you very much.
Do we need a letter from the board or anything to the family saying that?
Well, I'm Mrs. Lori, I think.
I don't believe so. Lori can probably disclose that information to them.
Okay.
But I'll let you know if she suggests that you do.
I don't know if it.
Okay, thank you, Teresa. Is there any more new business? Okay, at this time, I will allow for public comment. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, we will move to vouchers. So our meeting is over, sort of. And you're all welcome to stay or leave. Thank you all.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.